All right, congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks. That was fun last night and helped us completely distract from the pain of the Giants game. It's funny, I listened to the post-game rap. They're using it on these promos. And Mike was very philosophical, like, hey, man, you just want... It was what Tyler Rogers said, which was in the cooler of content. He said, I'm going to have a Bud Light, wash it off, and move on.
Yeah.
Pauly Mack had an exact same quote after heartbreak, except he said, I'm going to have a Michelob Ultra.
True story.
Wash it off and go home.
I might have a couple of Ultras. I like those Ultras, man.
We drank a lot of them in St. Louis.
They were everywhere. Yeah.
They really were. It's like the predominant. I asked if you were going to be able to find them. It turns out that's all we could find.
In fact, I'd put in a formal request to change the name of Busch Stadium to Michelob Ultra Stadium.
Well,
if I could.
You know what? It may be coming. It may be coming. Who knows? Maybe the A's will play in Michelob Ultra Stadium in Vegas. There's my transition. Alden Gonzalez is the voice you will hear next on the UMA guest line, writes for ESPN. And Alden, before we welcome you for the first time to the Murphy Mac Show, Brian Murphy and Paul McCaffrey here in San Francisco, just I want to reach out to you because you and I have something in common. We both have an essay in the Pedro Gomez book, Remember Who You Are, and I will never plug it enough because it's an amazing achievement by our friend Steve Kettman. Congratulations on your essay. And just, just before we get going on the A's and all that, just your thoughts on Pedro and what you wanted to say about him.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, and I'm honored to be a part of that book, as I'm sure you are too. It was all very deeply personal to me, to be honest. Pedro, as I wrote about in that essay, is a Cuban-American just like me. He grew up in the same neighborhood in Miami where I was born. He died on my birthday. And as I was coming up, he always was, even before I got into this profession, he was in some ways, even though he probably didn't even know it, he was a guiding light for me, because for somebody who is bilingual, Cuban-American, to come from where I came from, to be on TV reporting, coming from a writing background, that was basically a path that was carved out for me that otherwise I would have never even known about. That wouldn't have even existed if not for Pedro. So his life, his career, ultimately his death, all resonated with me really strongly. I'll never forget my emotions the day I found out that he had passed. And I'm so honored, though, on a positive side, that I've been part of this book. And it's such a great thing that they put this together, because I think it really captures just how much Pedro meant to different people in so many different ways.
That's all really, really well said. And I love how he just across different ages and genders and demographics, the impact Pedro had. And Aiden or Alden, you're much younger than I am. So it's nice to know that Pedro's generation or Pedro's reach went beyond our generation down to yours. So great, great stuff. Can't wait to read your essay. I just got the book, so I'm going to crack it open and read when I go home today. So I'll look forward to that, Alden. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN multimedia reporter. So we're Alden, we're hoping, you know, you're smarter than we are. We're trying to figure out how
that's debatable.
Well, we'll find out at the end of the conversation. We're sort of baffled. Oakland City Council voted to approve a Howard Terminal project. So on paper, hey,
sounds
that's
like
great.
A win, yeah, right?
Until we find out, no, it's not good. So
even when you hear good stuff, it might not be good.
So Alden, how does an approval of a project make the A's unhappy?
Yeah, this is something that A's president Dave Cavill was sort of talking about even before the vote. He did some media on Friday, then on Monday. I spoke with him on Monday, and the message that he was trying to get across was, I guess in hindsight, probably in anticipation of something like this happening, which was basically what he told me was that a yes vote on the term sheets from the city was, quote, akin to a no vote, because those were not the terms that the A's had agreed to. It's all still very murky to me. Oakland City Council seems to be very happy with where they're at. And I was actually just watching a live stream of a press availability that the mayor had right around the Howard Terminal site where that ballpark would be built. And she was talking very positively about just the possibility of building the stadium, what it would mean for the city of Oakland, and how far they've come in the negotiations. And I kept listening to that, and I was wondering, well, do the A's know about this? Because I'm not quite sure at this point, to be completely honest with you. I don't know where they're at. I watched that session yesterday, and the comments from the A's president made it seem as if, well, actually, it was very clear that the terms and the amendments that the city proposed are not the same as what the team wants, and I'm not sure if they're on board right now. The statement that was released by Commissioner Rob Manfred seemed ominous. He talked about having communications with the A's to, quote, carve a path forward for the club. I'm not exactly sure what that means. The A's officials were expected to be in Las Vegas today, which I think would be their fourth trip to Las Vegas this year.
Wow.
So I think the big thing here is that A's and city leaders in Oakland see what was presented yesterday as just sort of the evolution of a negotiation, whereas the A's see it as a completely different term sheet entirely that they don't agree with. And I think that's basically where we're at right now.
Wow, Alden Gonzalez is the voice you hear. ESPN.com, you can read his piece. Ahead of city council vote on stadium proposal, A's president said, our future in Oakland is hanging in the balance. That's the one I'm looking at right now. That was from Monday, from before the vote. It's kind of crazy. Alden, I mean, if you're, you know, if you want to play like real, what's brass tacks? What's the real message here? It sure just seems, looks like the A's are constantly looking for a reason to say, no, this is not working. No, this is not working. Now, they'll say, we've tried, but it doesn't seem, if you're reading the tea leaves and kind of walk, you know, having lived a little, looks like they're greasing the skids to get out of here. Is that too facile of a takeaway?
I don't know if that's exactly true, but I don't think that's an unfair take just based on where we're at. Again, I don't know. I mean, their message all along, their slogan throughout all of this has been that they are rooted in Oakland. And I think that's one issue that some of the council members took yesterday, which was that, and I think even the councilwoman who represents the district where that stadium would be built at the Howard Terminal site made that point and had a back and forth with Dave Cavill, was talking about how it doesn't sound as if you're rooted in Oakland. It sounds like as if what you're doing is you either agree to what we want or we're out of here. That was basically what she said. And look, I haven't been – it's hard for me to judge because it's not as if I'm in the room and I know about every single aspect of these negotiations. But that's what city leaders feel right now. I think that's what – before they opened up the floor for council people to speak on this issue, they spent like 2 hours talking to Oakland residents. And, you know, I think it was about 100 Oakland residents who called in through Zoom to voice their opinions on this project. And I think it was basically split where some people want the A's to stay, others – feel like they're just trying to strong-arm the city to get everything they want when at the end of the day they just want to leave. That's their perspective. I'm not sure exactly where they reside, but it's definitely a perspective that's shared by a lot of people right now given where we're at with this.
A lot of interesting tentacles here. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, covering the A's stadium issue. There's a couple things. There's a couple guys I'm going to mention here whose voices will matter. One, Rob Manfred. You said that statement was kind of, I felt the same way, it was slightly ominous. Is there a vibe here that they're going to make a statement that the A's are free to leave or I mean, it kind of feels like Manfred, he's thrown out this language. If you think this is a bluff, it's not a bluff. I mean, you know, that's what you do when you're bluffing, right? You know, if you're playing poker. But where do you read MLB and Rob Manfred's strategies on this?
Well, keep in mind, Rob Manfred obviously represents all 30 owners, right? And so when Rob Manfred releases a statement for something like this, he is basically echoing the thoughts of what the A's owner and A's front office members would think. And so he expressed disappointment in the decision reached by city council yesterday, which would obviously mean that there's disappointment from the A side. He talked about carving out a path forward for the team in light of this, which makes one think that maybe the A's are thinking about next steps in terms of a relocation. Whether or not this is a negotiating ploy is impossible to say in the moment. But I was there last week during the All-Star game in Denver when we were talking to Rob Manfred about this issue. He said literally that the Las Vegas option is not a bluff, that it's a very viable option, and that if this basically does not go where the team wants it to, where Major League Baseball wants it to, then that's when they could open up other relocation sites for the A's, whether that's in Portland or Vancouver or Nashville or Charlotte or Montreal, wherever that is. But from Major League Baseball's perspective and from the A's perspective, whether you agree with that or not, they feel like they've been at this for a long time. basically 2 decades worth of this. Major League Baseball feels that the A's ownership has done everything and then some. That's what Rob Manfred will say, to get this done, ponying up more than $200 million just to get this project off the ground, privately funding a $1 billion stadium. And I think there's some frustration there, rightly or wrongly, from Major League Baseball, from the A's, that they're still haggling over things. Whereas from the City of Oakland side, this is just part of a negotiation, and they're trying to take care of their residents. So it's hard to know where they go from here.
Wow, Alden. Because, and I mean, I know I do want to squeeze in a Giants-Dodgers question before we let you go, but just John Fisher's role in all this, too. I mean, he's been – the lack of leadership or the lack of presence or the lack of voice is infuriating for A's fans. And to your read, he's not – he doesn't take your calls, I imagine, and he's not going to speak anytime soon, I imagine.
No, and that's been Dave Cavill's job basically since he got here in 2016, right? He's been leading the stadium effort, so he's been the one front and center. He's been the voice on this, but obviously every time he speaks for John Fisher. And I think basically where we're at right now, guys, is the ball is in the A's court, right? So the city presented its amendments. This is where they're at. And so the A's could either decide to continue negotiating through this and try to continually evolve here, or they can decide that that's it, that they're done, and they're going to start relocating. And I think now, in some respects, we're going to find out just how badly the A's want to stay in Oakland and how important it is to them.
There you go.
Yeah, things haven't come to a head. We haven't had a Major League Baseball franchise relocation since the Nationals Expos, 05,
that I sounds
think.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, it has happened in the last 20 years, but it's not something Major League Baseball wants to get into.
No, no.
All right, hey, you also cover this little team called the Dodgers. And we cover this team called the Giants.
I've heard of them, yeah.
So, Alden, we've been way too friendly the last 10 minutes with you here. We're supposed to be...
Yeah, take the gloves off now. Let's get into it.
We're supposed to be brushing you back off the plate, man. I know you're an objective journalist, so you don't do that stuff. But we do. We have fun. We're shameless Giants honks here. That's what we do on the radio. That was an incredible game last night. You wrote on Twitter, no Mookie Betts, no Max Muncy, no Justin Turner. And you said it doesn't matter because Chris Taylor is the straw that stirs the drink. Is that right?
It's true. I know it's easy to mock that, but I mean, you look at everything that this guy does, and I know the Giants have a few of these guys and they've been trying to find super versatile players, but Chris Taylor is somebody who provides really good defense at second base, at shortstop, in left field, in center field. He's been hitting for them. With all the injuries that they've had, whether it's Mookie Betts in and out of the lineup, Cody Bellinger missing extended time, Corey Seager's still out, Max Muncy missed some time, Chris Taylor's been really the constant on this team, and he gets very underlooked because, for obvious reasons, they have so much star power, particularly in that lineup, but this is a guy that's incredibly valuable to them, and a lot of times, you know, it is these guys who just sort of get you through a season. Guys who offer that sort of versatility, that durability. You saw him hit 2 home runs yesterday, but just not even when he does that. He always has a major impact on the team. And if you ever want to get Dave Roberts sort of perked up and in a good mood, you could ask him about Chris Taylor because he loves the guy.
Yeah, he drives us crazy.
Yeah, he does.
Well, him or I don't know what to say about Muncy. I mean, we're going to have to send him out of the... We're going to put him up in Jeff Bezos' rocket and send him up into space.
He's been red hot really all year. And one thing about Max Muncy is, and what makes him so valuable in that lineup, he's not prone to these sort of like prolonged slumps because he's as good as anybody in baseball, just not chasing. Yeah. Other guys in that lineup, guys like Cody Bellinger, guys like Corey Seager, they have a tendency to chase. Max Muncy, even if he's not going right, he's going to take walks. And that's the big thing about him. And right now, when he's hot, he's just sort of sitting on pitches in the strike zone and he's not missing them.
Last one for you, Alden. The trade deadline's 10 days away. What's the buzz in L.A.? Because the feeling would be like, you know, oh, the Dodgers have everything. But I imagine starting pitching is that the talk?
Yeah, and it's as crazy it is to think about, given just the what seemed like an excess of starting pitching depth heading into the season. Starting pitching is precisely what the Dodgers need right now. And it's obviously the Trevor Bauer sexual assault allegations that are hanging over this team that are obviously a really big deal. But it's also, to a lesser extent, Clayton Kershaw's on the injured list. Dustin May is out for the year with Tommy John surgery. David Price is just now getting stretched out after being in the bullpen all season. Julio Urias has already surpassed his career high in innings pitched by a lot. So you have to monitor that as well. they need starting pitching, and they don't just need starting pitching depth. I would say, given the talent in this division, given the talent in the Giants' rotation, obviously, they need some impact arms. And the problem is that those are going to be particularly difficult to come by this month.
Wow, great conversation, Alden. Hopefully it's not our last. Enjoyed your insights into the A's stadium thing, which sounds pretty ominous. And then, of course, the Giant Dodger stuff is just too much fun. So you going to the stadium tonight?
I will be there, yes.
All right, you enjoy it, and we'll be watching and listening. So thanks for coming on. We'll continue to read you at ESPN. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Alden Gonzalez. Good.
There he goes.
Good guest.
Yeah.
Pedro essay, A's breakdown like you read about, and then... And I copes that had to fry you, the Chris Taylor. I know he's not one of your guys. Yeah.
Who are you? Worse, Muncy worse or Taylor worse? I don't like Muncy more than I don't like Taylor. Were you just talking about the face?
Yeah, the face.
Yeah, the face is a problem.
Yeah, the face.
And that can
problem.
Be a big factor.
Where are you with Muncy's face?
I don't like that either.
Yeah, right.
I don't.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.